trouble. I understand that. I don't like pain. And yet troubles are part of our experience, and if we are receptive, we often grow in hard times. I'll share that earlier this year, I was struggling. You know, I was in a church, I was pastoring, a couple things that I felt that I just wasn't able to lead over some, maybe some issues or relationships, and it kind of got me down. And I thought, man, God, can you still use me? You know, am I done? What is there? I end up resigning. I think God was in that too, but it was a hard time. And certainly I sought God, and God lifted me up in a few ways, and I'll share one of those. I received an invitation to have coffee with Doug Siemens, who's on staff with Focus on the Family. And during our conversation, Doug gave me two books. One of them is Replenish, Leading from a Healthy Soul by Lance Witt. And the other is Soul Keeping, Caring for the Most Important Part of You by John Ortberg. And I've realized in my reading that God's Word really says a lot about the soul. The soul is that inner part of who you are. It's the core of your being. It's not the outer self that's public, that others see. You kind of, you know, they see your work, your accomplishments, your reputation, and that's good and important. But the soul is the center of your being. Ortberg says the soul is the integration of your will, your mind, and your body. To have a healthy soul is to have inner harmony and to be well connected with God and the people in your life. Listen to what Psalm 42 says about the soul. In verse 1, he says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then three times in a fairly short psalm, in verses 5, 6, and 11, he asks, you know, like, why, my soul, are you downcast? The psalm writer realized that it is not well with his soul. He was struggling. He thirsted for God. He realized that only God could truly meet his inner need to satisfy the core of his being. So I don't know where you are all at today, individually or as a family or in your relationships with others. Possibly your outer world looks okay. What people see, they say, wow, there's a person who it's all going well for. And yet maybe you know that your inner world is not so good. The good news, according to Psalm 23, is that God restores your soul. That when we have those downcast kind of times, God is there to pick us up, to restore us. So regardless of your outer world, you can have a healthy soul. So I want to talk about the inner world this morning, and I want to make 4 points on how the Lord restores your soul. There's some things here in this psalm. I know it's a very familiar psalm, but it's a really wonderful psalm. I think for many years that I kind of didn't pay a lot of attention to Psalm 23 because, well, you know, everyone used it, especially at funerals. It was everyone's go-to, and I thought there's so much in Scripture. I'll look at other places. But in these last few years even, I would say that I've been very much drawn to this psalm. It's often, you know, through the day, I'll just recite this psalm because it feeds my soul. Number one, it says, trust the care of the shepherd. David spent his early years caring for sheep, leading them to meadows of lush pastures, at times going through rugged country to get there, protecting them from predators and nursing them in times of illness and injury. So in reflecting on life, David chose the image of the shepherd to describe what God meant to him. This is how he experienced God and life, and the same may be true for each of us. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice how personal this is. He is my shepherd. God cares for me. God cares for you. In John 10, Jesus says, the shepherd calls his sheep by name. Like he knows your name, my name. There's an intimacy, there's relationship, there's connection. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or as the NIV says, I lack nothing. David, he experienced contentment. Why? Because he knew God cared for him. He trusted God and God came through for him. David experienced many hardships, all kinds of pain in his life. But through those times, David knew God was there for him, watching over him like a shepherd. I lack nothing. In other words, God is enough. You know, sometimes we look and we see what we don't have. But David says, I've got all that I need. God is enough. God is always enough. And we need to get this, that God is enough. Whatever your situation, whatever you're going through, God is enough. With God, you have enough. Your needs are met. In Philippians 4, verse 19, it says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And it may be talking about material things there, but in that context, but I think it's that way with everything. God will meet your needs according to his riches. Not to give us all we want, not always to make our life easy, but he's enough and he will meet our needs. Number two, follow the path of the shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, I understand that Israel is a rather dry, arid place. It's drier climate than southern Alberta. And yet there were those places where there were pastures, where there was green grass, and the shepherd knew where to find them, and he would lead his sheep there. And there the sheep would be taken care of, and they would eat in a rich meadow that was sustenance for them. Now, I understand from my reading that sheep do not lie down while they're hungry. And I suppose if they got weak enough, they would. But generally, until they're satisfied, they keep foraging. They lie down then when they're content, when they're satisfied. David said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, the shepherd gives us what we need and we're content in him. And then we can rest. The shepherd provides. And verse 3 says that David wrote not only of physical provision, but of soul care. He restores my soul. So obviously David is talking about more than sheep at this point. He's using sheep as an image for our life with God. God cares for people. And we're most precious to him. He provides for us. David, I believe, is also talking about more than outward circumstances. David experienced hardships, and we do too. And yet with the Lord, your soul, your inner being may be cared for. And so we need to ask, you know, am I in a place of contentment? Do I have peace, inner peace, peace in my key relationships? I believe that the restoration of the soul happens initially and most profoundly at the point of conversion, of salvation, when we say yes to Jesus and we put our trust in him and we welcome into our life, our sins are forgiven, we have that relationship with God, we have life. However, the soul needs ongoing care and nurture. Just as we, as a child needs birth and then nurture and care, so we too, we say yes to Jesus, but we need to do that in an ongoing way, so that God continues to work in our life and can satisfy our soul. And then the last part of verse 3 says, the shepherd guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. That's as we follow those right paths that our soul is well. It was imperative for the well-being of the sheep to follow the lead of the shepherd. In the same way, it's imperative for us to walk in God's way of righteousness. David, we know he struggled with staying on that narrow road on more than one occasion. But God called him back. David acknowledged his sins. He repented. He turned from those things back to God. Jesus, he told a parable of a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of them was lost. He only had 99. And he knew which one. And he knew that he cared for that one too. So he went and he looked high and low until he found that lost sheep. And then there was that reuniting and bringing that sheep back into the fold. It is not that we won't sin or that we won't wander. There are times that we get off the path. We're like sheep, it says. We all go astray. But the question is, will we confess our sin? Will we come back to Jesus? Will we get back on the path? It is so good to be found, to be back in the care of the shepherd. And we stay in his care as we follow the path, follow his lead, as we walk in paths of righteousness. That's when we experience his provision and goodness. Three, we can be confident in the protection of the shepherd. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David, as a shepherd, he was able to defend his flock against a lion and a bear, and he didn't have bear spray to do it. The Lord enabled David to kill them both. With God's protection, David was not afraid, not of animal predators, nor of Goliath. David was confident, not because of his own strength, but because God was with him. He fought Goliath in the name of the Lord. I notice here that David refers to death merely as a shadow. Sometimes we think death, oh, that scares us. But David says it's like a shadow. Now, we've probably all had experiences where we've maybe been afraid of shadows. Maybe you went around a corner and there was this huge image and you thought this was a 15-foot tall person. And then you see the person's no bigger than you and they're not all that scary. It's only a shadow. The prospect of death may seem scary, other things too. And David says, I don't fear the shadow of death. I notice also that David refers to it as a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not a walk, into the valley and we stay there. It's not a walk in the valley. It's a walk through the valley. Implied in through is that one comes out the other side, right? We're not just staying there. Now, I'm not suggesting that death is not a big deal. Death is an enemy. Scripture says that. Death involves loss and grief. It's hard. And yet with the Lord, even in the time of death, we do not need to fear, for God is with us, and we need to find strength from him in those times. Death is not the end. It's a shadow. So we may have confidence in the protection of the shepherd. And number four, receive the blessing of the shepherd. Verse 5 continues with another image of peace and contentment in the face of trouble. The New Living Translation reads, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." What a wonderful picture. I think sometimes we are very focused on what we need to do for God. I want to be a good Christian, so I need to do all these things. We've been taught to serve and to live right. And certainly those things are important. I'm not downplaying them in any way. But I believe it's also important sometimes to simply be with God, to receive from him, to be blessed by his presence. In verse 5, God is pictured as a friend. And we know that Jesus called his disciples, he calls his followers, he says, "Your friends." The servant of God has fellowship with his Lord. They share a meal together. Hospitality was of high importance in Eastern culture. Here the psalmist is the guest of honor in God's house. And though enemies may be all around, they're powerless against him because he's God's guest. We know that David was often pursued by enemies. In the midst of those circumstances, David experienced peace in fellowship with his master. So that intimacy with God can be yours as well. James 4, verse 8 says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." So this banquet is for all who will come. So when you feel attacked, and it may be criticism from people, it may be difficult circumstances you're going through, it may be emotional discouragement, what we need to do is turn to God and seek his friendship and realize that he's there and he invites us to be with him and to fellowship with him. Psalm 23 ends with, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So I notice in this psalm, as in several others, the writer speaks of God's care and goodness both in this life and forever, both in the here and now and for eternity. And so, you know, we're not just waiting for then. God is with us now. And then it will be even greater in heaven forever. Earlier I asked about your soul. How is it with your soul? I think we live in prosperous times. And outwardly, many people look like they have it together. But inwardly, they lack the peace and contentment that come only from a healthy soul, from being in relationship with God and his people. Some time ago, I was kind of in a valley. Not a shadow of death, but feeling somewhat discouraged. It's kind of like the writer of Psalm 42. "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" And I think most of us go through some of those times to varying degrees. And I found hope and help in the care of the shepherd. So I want to just briefly suggest a few applications that may help in having it be well with your soul. I mean, God is going to do his part. He will be the shepherd. But how do we put ourselves in a position that we receive from him so that it is well with our soul? Four things. One is just choose to rest in the Lord. I think a healthy soul begins with a decision that I will trust God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We just choose. We say, "God, I'm going to rest in you and trust you." Number two is listen to the good shepherd. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." I mean, Jesus will call, and it's up to us to respond. God speaks to us first and foremost through his word. He also speaks as we listen in prayer. Sometimes I think that a lot of our prayer is asking for things, and there's certainly we're invited to do that. Important. But there's also something about waiting on him, hearing him, listening for what he wants to say, and then responding in obedience. Three, follow paths of righteousness. We live in a time in which our world seems to be departing from what is right, what the Bible says is right. I think Len referred to that. And it's resulting in greater brokenness. People experience hurt, lack harmony in relationships, because when we're off the path, it's never going to go as well for us, not in the long run. And so in this world that's going one way, Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So like David, we fall into sin. But like David, we confess and get back on the path of righteousness. There's healing for repentant souls, and we'll be restored. And then fourth, I want to say, find strength in one another. Clearly, God cares for us as individuals. He knows his sheep by name. It's personal. But he also puts a sheep into a flock. We need each other. We grow together. We're encouraged by one another. And so we need the fellowship of God's people, their strength in that as well. So from the word, from prayer, from reading, from the encouragement of others, I knew God was watching over me. I trust you will know God is watching over you, that he's shepherding us. I know that I'm very much a work in progress. But I'm confident that God leads and cares for me and you. He has restored my soul. He will restore each of our souls. And I pray God will grant each of you a healthy soul. A verse which has often encouraged me this year, I just want to leave it with you, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God guide us. I want to call on Ben Nickel. He's going to lead us in communion this morning. Please, Ben.